We're on the air. Is anybody there?
We are here.
Who's all there?
This is Wynn.
Wynn, is anybody else there with you, Wynn?
No.
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 Okay.
They sound like it, but they're not.
You sound like you're working out.
Well, I just did another book talk in Santa Cruz, and I just walked to my car, and I tell you, are you on the air now?
We're on the air, man. We're on the air.
Well, I might as well just tell everybody how it is to be me. So here I was, I said, this morning, I have got to remember to do about the Don and Wynn show. And then I was at Starbucks talking about all of this stuff to people. And there you call me. And I'm totally unprepared. But I guess I'm prepared in my unpreparedness because I've walked back to my car and I'm ready. But let me put on my headset. Don, how are you doing?
Actually, I'm doing really good, Wynn.
Hang on just a second. Here we go.
As usual, Wynn?
Yes.
Right on time and ready to go.
Me or you? Were you on time at 6 o'clock?
I'm never on time.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. Because I would feel guilty otherwise. You know, there's something I wanted to talk about tonight, Don.
All right.
Is there anything you want to talk about in particular? You know, I want to talk about... You know, we started out the show, and we talked a lot about channeling and messages from the other side and all of that stuff. But there's an overriding thing about all of this, which goes far beyond the idea of channeling, and it's the idea of how does a person holographically connect with the highest energies, forces, dimensions possible in the physical realm? That is the question. And
well, the question, no. It isn't really a question. And see, when you put it into that sort of a format, you've automatically stated to people that they're not connected.
Well, you know what?
You see, really, they are connected. And, I mean, you can tell them there's a secret or there's some secret or something, but there's no secret. There's no magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's none of that. You're connected, folks. That's the key. And once you know it, and you start to live that way, it becomes a part of you, and it grows. Your spiritual awareness grows. So really, there is nothing magical. There's nothing to get. I used to think the same thing. That tripped me up for a long time.
Well, you know what? See, here we are starting our show with our normal dichotomy, right?
Well, exactly.
And so that's good. Because now we have somewhere to go, right?
That's right.
I'm going to both agree and disagree with you, okay? Because it's kind of like, yes, we're connected.
Well, it's kind of like praying to a God that is outside of yourself.
Yeah.
Thinking that there's an entity that is separate from you and praying to it. See, it's the same general principle. When you come to realize that you are a part of it and that it's not separate, and it's the same thing here. I mean, it's the same principle. There's nothing to get. It's just a matter of, instead of thinking with your mind, you start thinking with your heart and feeling with your mind. It's just a reverse of what you've been taught. It's really simple to get into.
Mm-hmm.
But you're connected. You might not know it.
Well,
you might want to say, how do you magnify or experience that connection? That might be more appropriate.
How do you tap into more of what you really already are?
Exactly.
Okay?
That's a good way to do it.
Let's say it like that. Is that okay?
Nah, I'm joking. Sure.
Are we gonna?
No, that's okay.
Are we gonna be on each other's cases? No. We have to find the consensus way of making the communication right.
So what are you wearing?
Huh? what do I want?
I knew you'd say something like that.
Like what?
Huh?
Say something like what?
Huh?
Do you know how beautiful Santa Cruz is?
It must be lovely because it's lovely right here. I mean, you got the sun out, the blue skies. It's the, you know, the plants are all green and mm-hmm. coming in, and it's really nice here.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you it's beautiful there.
So I had some really interesting thoughts today about exactly what we're talking about, and I think it's a really good topic to share with people, because you know, the idea is.
Well, what would be the five bullets if you were to say
how do you
experience that connection more fully between
okay.
you and all that is? How do you experience that more fully? Well, there'd be some simple ways, I think, that they could do that.
Okay, I'll give you some bullets, okay?
Sure.
And number one bullet is to get the right nat.
To get the right what?
Nat.
Nat? N-A-T or G-N-A-T?
M-A-T. M-A-T.
Oh, map. Okay, to get the right map.
Yeah.
With a P.
And a map, like say, for example, we exist on this side and the other side. Right?
Why would you need a map, though?
Just listen to me, and let me just say it. You know,
okay.
See if you go along with
it. So they obviously need to find something now, like a map.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here. Let me.
Okay, folks.
Just,
get ready. You got to find a map. You ready?
Just
okay.
Hear me out a second. Hear me out and see it.
I'm teasing. All right.
It's all right. A map. When I say a map, it's like, when we're looking for connections, we obviously have a veil. We do have a veil. There's parts of us that are on the other side of the veil. And you can talk about your unconscious, your subconscious, your superconscious, your God self, and the celestial realms. There's a huge, you know, the biggest part of us is on the other side of the veil. So it's like there's maps that when you get the right map, it taps you into your intuition so you can tune into those parts. You intuitively get grasp it. So, for example, there's different qualities of maps. One map talks about God and talks, you know, that just like puts everything on the other side of the veil as God, so to speak, and God does everything. But really, as you know, it's far more complex than that. So if you can get the right map for how it is, that has all the streets in it, then it's like going into a city. If you have a map that doesn't have all the streets in it, you may get to the same place, but it'll take you longer because you don't have any of all the shortcuts. But if you have all the streets, you can take the shortest distance to get there. And so getting the right map.
Well.
And, you know, then you have to figure out how you know it's the right map. Could have the wrong map.
Well, it might just be a matter of them staying quiet, meditating.
Well, that's not a map, though. That's different. I mean,
is it really? Because when you bring in everything more inward. You know,
yeah.
really, we can focus on everything outward, but when you bring things inward,
yeah,
that might be one advantage.
Well, not the same as a map. When I say a map, like for example, you know, if you read a book that describes things, like you could read Michael Sharp's book, it describes certain things. If you read my channelings, it describes certain ways that things work. If you read Carla Ruckert's Raw Stuff, it describes things.
You know who I really enjoyed? Dr. Holmes. You ever read his stuff?
No.
Dr. Christopher Holmes, he does a show with us at this morning. He did a show. He'll be doing a two-hour show every other week now because I talked him into it, thank heavens.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Holmes, Christopher Holmes, he explains something on how science at where the mundane and the etheric tie in through science, and he explained it, oh my goodness, through the law of three and the law of seven.
Yeah.
Wonderfully.
Yeah.
And really how science is now really caught up to the spiritual community. But that hasn't really been made mainstream yet. But folks, scientists really, in the broadest sense, have now started to come around to proving the spiritual, and inwardly they already know. And, I mean, it just seems that's what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
hope we hurry up, man.
Well, we're getting there. Time's moving faster and faster, it seems. The weeks are going by so fast that I'm on the radio program with you 1 week, and then, you know, the next moment I'm back on with you. It feels like that.
Yeah. Okay, so getting the right map is one thing.
Yeah, and right map.
Another thing is, this is an important one. It's like connecting with someone that you can personally connect with and feel their energy who has celestial connections. Because then you end up having by osmosis, not just by reading or getting it. You feel the connection and you tune into it. See, we're all psychic with each other. And unless we close ourselves off from another person because of trauma or, you know, our own compressed reality system, we will intuitively connect with someone else and make the connection and feel it, you know?
Well, sure, absolutely.
So that's like one of the most powerful things.
Well, group intention just magnifies who you are.
Well, not just group intention, but
energy.
Not just, but connecting with people who have celestial connections, and because that way that they rubs off.
I would disagree with you on that. I don't think people need to find a man who has celestial connections.
Well,
I think that means then everybody we're saying to them, they got to go out and find a guru, or they got to go find something outside, and go get this document. Wait, it's secret. It's locked up. You can't get it. It's telling them to go get something, they got to find somewhere. They need some master or guru in their life, or I don't know.
Well, you know what? This is like a little bit of a paradox. So obviously, everyone has everything, so they don't need anything. But on the other hand,
well, when you give your
just let me make my point, and then you can comment. On the other hand, it's like people go through huge amounts of pain and huge amounts of alienation. And not everybody, but you know what? We're talking about not the choir here, the people that are really reaching and having trouble. People need reference points, Don. They need a reference point.
Well, that's why we have BBS radio, isn't it?
BBS radio is the reference point, and if people tune into things here, and they find things, if they tune into the Don and Wynn show, that's a reference point. It's like we need reference points of connection so that we can make our own connection. Because and that's not just a poo-poo. You can't just disregard that. And it's finding the right reference point, because it's hard to trust reference points, because you can get very misled very easily by things. So,
you know, I came to a funny realization this week, Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
I think I discussed it with you last week.
Mm-hmm.
That really it comes down to staying out of the matrix, stepping out of it, and just being an observer.
Yeah.
Instead of totally polarizing yourself.
Yeah.
Or saying that this part of the government's good, this is bad, or this guy's smart, this guy's dumb, this guy's right, this guy's wrong, this is correct and this isn't. You know, you get out of that, you just step up, and then you stop giving power to it.
Well, I think that's
and I think the changes start coming within at that point. I mean, yes, people can go out and find reference points, maps, and gurus, and I don't mean to downplay that, but I really think people need to start, because the energy is here. See, I don't believe that Well, I believe that right now we're in such a wonderful time period that there's a lot of energies coming from the Hunabku, or the galactic center, and I think people can just assimilate them.
Right.
I don't think they need anything anymore. I think people can just grow right into their happening without giving power over to anybody or any ideology or any religion or any sect or any movement or any other there's so many different wonderful teachers and teachings, and then there's a lot of them that lead you astray. You know, I think people now can really find out within themselves if they wish to. They just need to desire it, and they can really get to those quiet gaps in their life, those moments, and things start to become clearer. I want to really start demystifying all this, I guess, spirituality, being in touch, being a psychic, or being connected, or being in tune, or being of a higher vibration. I want to really start to demystify that. You know, stop saying you need this, you need that, you need all these tools. Or I almost want to say, folks, you just need love, and you just need to start looking inwardly and allowing these higher energies to become a part of your life.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I always think that you make it sound so simple.
Well, it is simple, because complexity is where man gets fouled up.
For many people, it's not simple. Because, I mean, let me just say for myself, let me just say something. I went through a period of my life, a long period, where no matter where I turned, I kept recreating the same projection. It's like I would go this way, I go that way, go the other way. And I even knew what my projection was.
But you recreated it. Well,
I recreated it. So it's like it took a lot of work for me to stop creating that projection and get to the place where I wasn't recreating a particular repetitive negative pattern. And I see that true for many people, Don.
Well, see, then
I see.
When it's the complexity again, because let's say you ask a computer a question.
Yeah.
It's going to say 0101, on, off, on, off, on, off, and it's going to replicate that many times in various ways until it comes up with your answer. It converts those binary numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it's just repeating the same answer on and off, on and off, on and off. But and what that tends to say is, isn't the question and the answer really the same? Won't you find every answer in the question? Because mankind make it complex, add more and more and more information to the question, and then it becomes more and more ones and zeros, ones and zeros, ones and zeros, and it becomes complexity, and then all of a sudden you really don't even remember what the question was. I mean, it gets that complex. You just bring it back.
In my particular case, I mean, I just speak from my own particular experience, it wasn't a question like you would normally think of a question.
You'd say, am I connected? That would be
the question.
Yes, of course.
In my case, Don, it wasn't a question. It was a circumstance where I had a very deep, what I would call trauma. And that trauma was recreating circumstances in my life over and over again, and that until I cleared the trauma, I would have to keep the circumstances recreating. So that was the challenge, to clear the trauma.
I agree. A lot of people need either energy healers, people that can help them with their chakras, and cleaning out their erratic minds, maybe helping them get down into quiet spaces with themselves, and then cleaning out the energy problems that are within the body. There are great people that can do that. A lot of people, I agree, could.
Yeah, but you still have to do it. You know, if you don't get to the root of it, though, if you don't get to the root of it, even when somebody clears it out, so to speak, you're going to have to go back to it again, because you're creating it at a core level, or close to a core level, because it's a trauma and it's something that happened to you. So maybe somebody can help you re-experience it or recreate it or go into the original cause of it.
Sure.
And oftentimes when it's a deep trauma, see, I don't think you necessarily have deep traumas. So sometimes things look easy to you because it's kind of mental, so to speak.
Or well, that's how I am, mental.
Pardon me? You're a mental case, right?
Pack.
Right.
Mental pack.
So if you don't have deep trauma, it's hard for you to understand this. It's hard for you because it looks like, well, guys, just da-da-da-da-da, and
hey,
everything
man,
changed.
I just went out for a pack of smokes. I don't know why I'm here.
You have obsessions, though.
I only have one obsession, Wynn.
Which was that? Huh?
That is to help spread awareness and spread, I guess, not only awareness, but helping uplift people's vibration in one form or another. And it's funny because I have a debate with myself, and it always goes like this.
Mm-hmm.
We have a radio network, and we put out programming. One kind of programming says, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid, but you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. Now, that's one form of our programming.
Mm-hmm.
The other form of the programming basically says, contact me, I'll fill you in, or I'll give you readings of this, that, or the other, channelings, information, whatever. And, you know, but it's somewhere in there. It's always saying, you know, we got to worry about this, or you got to understand this, or that, or the other. It's great stuff, and it builds awareness. But I come down to that one point where I'm saying, should I be polarizing these people, you know, with these radio programs, or should we be just spreading the message of unity, harmony, and love? See, and then I have
hey, Don.
Yeah.
Let me just say something.
I think you need to do both, don't you, Wynn?
Well, let me just say, you don't spread the message of unity and love. You are the message of unity and love. Do you understand that?
I agree with that, yes.
You are it, and then people get it.
Well, I agree.
Or they don't. But it's not like spreading a message, because it sounds like, again, well, let's all just love, you know, and people don't get that. They say, what do you mean just love? I don't feel love today. I got all these problems. I'm hurt. I can't pay my bills. My girlfriend left me. You know, I'm unloved.
You sound like a country record.
I don't feel connected with everything. I feel separated. You guys...
Then we got to get people to stop thinking like that, because it comes down to two things in this universe: attitude and perception. And those two things will form the basis of your reality, folks. Attitude and perception. So if you want two tools to really start thinking about, those would be it. Pause, long pause. Yes, my guru.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
No.
Wait, you're only in my left ear.
Listen,
okay,
I'm
now you're in my right.
I'm only here on the street in Santa Barbara.
You're right.
No, in Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz.
I want you to hear this musician.
All right.
Can you hear him?
Yeah, I gotta buy that guy's CD.
Probably not too good fidelity, is it?
We had to run that on BBS radio. Yeah.
I'm here.
I wouldn't know what to call it. We could give
this
it a
guy
name.
Is good.
Yeah.
All right. Back. I share that moment of interdimensional stuff. And I'm on the streets of Santa Cruz looking up and down, seeing if there's interesting people to talk to.
You know,
right.
You know what I love about you, Wynn? You truly, in your heart, want to do the highest good. I love that about you. You know, and regardless of where you and I come from, you're from the left, I'm from the right, or maybe you're in the front and I'm in the rear, I don't know. Wherever you're coming from and I'm coming from, we both, hopefully, I think, have that in common. And I love the fact that so many of our hosts and so many people, wonderful people that are constantly being introduced in my life, have that same quality. Well, you know, they might come at it differently, but they truly want to be of service. They truly want to increase the vibration of humanity. They truly want to be of the highest service. I love that. I mean, where in history have you ever seen this kind of a movement flourish? Now, that says something. I mean, we're in dark times, folks, but you can look at the other coin. We're in fabulous times. That's kind of like the way I like to look at it. And because, again, attitude, perception, but...
Do you know what? You know, I did a whole series of amazing channelings lately, which you didn't read, and they're different from the other channelings we've done.
Right.
And I'm talking to the Elohim, and... I'm asking the kinds of questions from their point of view of how it all works. And I'm getting the most wisest answers.
Can you read some of it right now? Because, you know that I love your channel material. Folks, I do. I love this channel material. I have read some of it, Wynn. Not all of it, because it was a long one you sent me.
Yes.
But I did read some of it, and I love it. In fact, read some of the highlights.
Yeah, I'm walking back to my car, getting away from the steel guitar player. And, by the way, I'm on the streets of Santa Cruz, walking to my car, and I'll get it.
Your cell bill must be deadly.
No, it's free weekends, son.
Oh, okay. All right.
So we're okay.
I mean, we have a few cells in this household. I hate those darn things. I never go anywhere, and you just keep paying this stupid bill. I just don't get it. You know, I mean, cellulars, all they do is, you know, they transmit electromagnetic frequency at you and do damage to your brain if held too close. I mean, although they are kind of necessary in today's world. I just wish...
I'm using an earphone.
Yeah, that's probably better, keeping it away.
So the
about
earphone.
3 feet, you should be keeping it away from your head.
The what?
You should keep it a minimum of 2.5 feet, but it really should be around 3 feet away from your head.
The cell itself, you mean?
The cell itself, correct.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in these channelings, we're talking to the Elohim. And the Elohim says that they're the creator God for this realm. And so I'm figuring, if I'm really talking to the creator God of this realm, which is a group soul, by the way, not just one...
Well, if it is.
One being, is it the creator God?
Do you mean like the creator God, which many people call Christ, Nebadon, or what are they?
The Archangel, creator...
Or Michael, Christ Michael, or Michael the Christ, which really...
No. The creator God...
Of this universe.
Of this universe.
Would be like God, or the Michael the Christ, or Christ Michael, or that energy, or... Is that what you're saying? I don't follow.
Well,
there's so many people that interpret it in so many different ways.
Well, originally there was nothing. And somehow nothing becomes something. All right?
Well, that was confusing.
Does that confuse you?
Well, I know what you're saying, but are you talking the point of creation? Are you talking the point here where the angelic realm then...
No. I'm talking about before there was a physical world, before there was nothing, there was nothing. There was just... Nothing. I mean, maybe
always something. It's just
we don't know that, and we can assume whatever we want. It's not within our direct ability to know it.
Yeah.
But if I happen to be talking if this happens to be the part of what was nothing that became something, I said, well, I'm going to ask them, how did nothing become something?
Right.
And I have a really, really phenomenal group of questions and answers.
Read some.
First of all, this is from a new book I'm working on. I said, who are the Elohim and why are they connected with the evolution of the human race? And so the answer was, we are a soul group whose purpose is to bring life and life forms to planets such as Earth. We then work with the life forms in the hope that the independent life forms will align themselves with higher interdimensional energies with the purpose of bringing heaven into the third dimension and transmuting third dimensional experience into a fruitful playing ground for learning the lessons of love, bringing wiser entities back into the fourth and fifth dimensions. So then I asked, why doesn't the origination of life start up in a higher dimension instead of going through a dimension which is so difficult and challenging? And they answered, life starts out beyond the dimensions, and dimensions are a limiting factor, a focusing mechanism for life. Each dimension has its own lessons. The third dimension is a lesson in limitation against odds to temper and strengthen a soul. And then I asked, was the Elohim responsible totally or partially for the origination of life in this dimension? Life is everywhere. Life is beyond origination. It is the starting factor for everything.
Wow, I love that statement.
The origination of life by the creation of focusing mechanisms for life to express itself through is one of the jobs of the Elohim, to present focusing mechanisms. And in the implementation of this, we, the Elohim, become adept at mathematics, geometrics, and rearrangement of intentions within the mathematical shapes, which then allow for the focusing mechanisms for life. The intentions, once originated into the dharma of the receptive life, continues in a geometric focusing state, allowing for life forms to express themselves through this multifaceted arrangement of geometric intentions. Now,
I just had a flashback when you said that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What do you hear when this goes?
It felt like, I'll have to put that into words later on.
Now listen where this goes.
Yeah.
The Elohim projects into this realm through geometry and mathematics, according to the answers you're giving us. Can you explain the way it works so it might be possible to visualize the geometry and the mathematics that the Elohim uses to focus energy into this realm? And the answer is, in reality, there is no time or space. In reality, there is only the one. By formulating and introducing into place by intention geometric anchor points, thereby we create a structure, not yet a physical structure, but a loose holographic structure. So would the holographic structure be composed of what we call etheric energy? Etheric energy would occupy the structure and would be anchored by the binding of the energy into the structure, resulting in form, which will become the form of an entity who has chosen to occupy or make use of it. This is created by the use of sacred geometry, and it provides an avenue for life to express itself through form. And then they describe there are multiple geometric forms, which are the basic building blocks. The basic building blocks for life forms are tetrahedrons and octagons. The geometric forms actually secure and originate a location, which before the introduction of the geometric structures, there was no location. These forms are a precursor to matter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it makes total sense. It's not anything different than what I've come to understand. I love it.
The relationships are extremely important and must be mathematically exact to produce the proper waveforms and light and frequencies. The spin is one of the relationships because the speed at which it spins is critical to the outcomes. And so they describe actually that there's these, they have an intention, and the intention spins, and the spinning creates a tetrahedron or an octagon, which is a three-dimensional form, and these tetrahedrons and octagons spinning then are put in proximity to each other.
Giving it.
And you have two of them spinning, and at the points where they intersect, they blink on and off, and where they touch. And as the spinning and the blinking on and off creates both a particle and a wave. This is my own,
formation. Sure.
And the particle and wave is really the basis for the quantum physics effect of is it matter or is it a frequency, okay? And then I say, how did all this result in independent conscious thinking in an entity? Now listen to this. This is a far-out answer.
I'm already loving it.
Multiple identities can get infused into the same geometric structure, and it becomes a haven to reach out from. Confusions in identity can easily result. Confusions arise as the structures which house or bind the entity get confused as other entities make the same structure their home. The mind develops and the thinking within such an entity may become self-generating thoughts over which he has no direct control of, but are triggered by the circumstances of life and the structure he has occupied, connecting with other entities occupying the same structure. The mind can therefore be a diversion to the entity's experience of who they really are, although it can also serve and solve problems for him in the realm he is in now. It becomes an aspect of the veil which can hinder his connection with the realms from which he came. And then, when did the sub-gods, spirits, occupy the original forms, originally occupy the forms?
Yeah.
The larger cosmos and the smaller cosmos are mirrors. We, the Elohim, created the initial templates of space by the projection of these anchor points and spinning energy through them. Initially, we created rudimentary holograms through intention, and we refined them through the spinning of the energies. The greater Logos, or God, delighted in spinning out projections, which created the space of the galaxy. First, the energies were very expansive. It was a great delight to create spinning motions which resulted in light. As it is above, so it is below in the denser forms of life. The spinning creates light matter appearing and disappearing in a flicker. The intersection of anchor points begins to tap down the flickering light into the form of life. Form is now appearing and disappearing. The form increases in density, becoming solider and solider, and eventually endures. For forms to solidify, interlocking holograms are required. The spirit sub-gods desire to possess these forms, to feel the resonance which occurs when they could shine back at other forms. Occupying a form thus becomes a delightful experience, acting as proof that one exists. This is the initial hook attracting the sub-gods to this realm, where they started to become trapped in form, where they wish to have the experience of the beauty of birth, not only for the proof of existence, but for the validation that they were an elegant, worthwhile, cherished being. The wish to solidify...
I love this stuff, Wim.
The wish to... I told you. The wish
Jeez.
To solidify... The wish to solidify one's life in love, to glorify oneself through life, to gain proof of one's existence through extending into matter and take on an existential, exterior form solidified as part of creation. Sex played some part in that it increases the love one is capable of feeling, the glorification of having two together, each enhancing the existence of the other, becoming an even deeper validation of form and existence.
Isn't it incredible?
It was these things that made the third density so popular and kept the soul tied to this realm. Does that answer your question? When? Did the spirits get trapped for doing it just once, or was it something that took a longer time before they got trapped? Could they go back and forth initially?
In other words, what you're really saying is stop whacking off or you'll never leave this density.
Over time, their ability to return to the other realm became harder as they became more alloyed with the factors of the third dimension.
This is about as profound as any reading I've ever read.
When, in the original creation, did the sub-gods group together as teams? Elohim. At first it was delightful playing, as in a new game, and the players were delighted at this very high level of creation. The idea of grouping into teams, as one thinks of it, third dimension, is a very much more laborious, deliberate, and organized function. This original creation was far above thought, so the coming together was very spontaneous and joyful. We do not want to give it the connotation of a worker team coming together in an organized fashion and then being given jobs by some managers, because that is not the best picture of how it is. It was a co-creation, a very spontaneous function. Does that answer your question? When? Does that explain how the Elohim works right now, co-creation and spontaneous? Elohim, yes, very much at a level above thought. When? Is part of the Elohim part of that original group? Yes. At first there was, now listen to this, at first there was delight in experiencing the third dimension. Then so many were disappearing into matter or lower realms that there became concern that the wisdom of the higher realms would be lost and all creation would fall into gross repeating patterns. It was decided that certain individuals would hold the knowledge and wisdom and never incarnate into the third dimension. When, as a protection for all of creation falling into this dimension, that is correct. When, is there still any possibility of all creation falling into this realm? That would depend on all creation, but we do not worry about it. I want to go back to the spinningness. Is the planet Earth one spinningness which contains many smaller spinningnesses? Was it created in one fell swoop and then added to? Elohim, the spinningness was created as a joy and a creation in joy, a wonderment of light energy. The Earth is a collection of spinningnesses that help congeal the cells, the DNA structure composing a body, which has many spinningnesses according to the function of the aspect of the body. When one spinningness fails, that function of the body it connects with may fold in disrepair and become sick and dysfunctional. And let me see here. So, is this, how, let's see, I'm trying to, now here, I asked the question, I'm trying to simplify it in my own mind so it can be simplified so anyone can understand it. Is the Elohim,
yeah, I do have a question for you.
Let me just read this one.
All right.
Is the Elohim composed of spinningness? Am I composed of spinningness? I know my body is composed of spinningness, but is there something that exists outside of spinningness that spinningness responds to? In other words, when the one infinite creator created a huge universe by creating anchor points and putting spinningness in it, was he spinningness, spinning, spinningness, or was he outside of spinningness? He is outside of spinningness. The Elohim is outside.
Interesting.
The Elohim is outside of spinningness. You are outside of spinningness. When? So the physical world and all the other dimensional worlds are made up of this spinningness. That's correct. When? So I am not spinningness. I am the master of spinningness. Intentions are not spinningness. Intentions control spinningness. Yes, spinningness responds to intentions, but intentions are something that is created by the creator who is beyond spinningness, beyond anchor points. He is the creator of those things. When? That's why intention is so powerful, it is outside of this world. Elohim, it is the bridge between this world and the source. When? Is creativity part of intention? Right. Now, regarding awareness, you have to have something to be aware of in order to be aware. So awareness is a feedback mechanism. Right. When intention is a creation mechanism, awareness is a feedback mechanism. That is correct. So really, the creator is a major intention divided into minor intentions, and each one has their own realm of spinningness. That's correct, and each tends to degrade as they look lower, and their spheres get smaller and smaller, and they forget their origins. When? The question still remains, how exactly does intention turn into spinningness? Perhaps there's a mystery that can't be solved, but I want to pose the question to see what you come up with. How does that intention leave the source, become independent, and suddenly exist as a separate unit, independent of its creator? That's a good question. The intention contains within it the intention, the torque, the creation of the projection of the intention, a loose nothingness, a desire or passion for somethingness within the sphere of the projection, and the torquing spins the projection. The spinning of the projection contains mathematical configurations within it, which as they are torqued, they intersect and stop intersecting and start intersecting, and as they rotate, they pass through a cycle, And as the geometric creations within the torquing area pass through each other, they create a drag, and this drag begins to light fire to shine.
You know what's interesting about all that?
Huh?
We got to start to think these, I mean, it really comes down to math.
The math.
Physics.
The shining, then, is a piece of matter, both wave and particle, and can be observed as separate. It is the torquing that the motion continues, and the life is formed, and thus may observe motion. As life observes motion, it feels alive and may continue on its own. It feels existence. It's like a soul which experiences existence. It's like a cordoning off or a sectioning or a focusing on the pre-life, the nothingness that is already there, and it may begin to experience itself and observe other factors within itself lighting up. It begins to feel alive, and so it can continue on its own. When? Is this the way the one infinite creator replicated itself the first time? With great delight, yes, but replication is not the best choice of words, because the creator is, for lack of a better word, different from his creation. Therefore, he has not replicated himself. Is this amazing, Tom?
But different from his creations is what he's saying.
Yeah.
So, separate from? Different from.
Well, separate, outside of his creation. Just like,
so
it's like cascading pyramids. Now, the creation can now also create, so it creates another cascade down, and then those creations can also create, just like we as humans can create downward in our creations.
Right.
It's hard. Now, the challenge...
Well, it comes right back into line with what the Mormons believe, again.
What is that?
Well, you continually grow until you become, you know, godlike.
Right. Now here's an interesting one.
Which is what I've always believed.
Does the
because you just take on more and more of yourself. You become more and more of who you really are.
Well, the key is to expand your own space so that you can get out of your own anchor points and create with intention from the highest. This is how we change this level, by the intention of creation. And later on in the questions, they talk about how prayer works, because prayer... focused intention. And the deal is, the negative forces, like, say if two people get together and create a prayer, or, a number of people get together and have a group intention, it becomes powerful. And when the group intention aligns itself with the higher purposes, like, saving the planet, or stopping an earthquake,
for the highest good.
Then we start to attract the support of the Elohim and or Ra, which I haven't mentioned, because they can add to the intentions of our request, and that's the advantage we have over the negative on this realm. The negative cannot get the source of the highest sources in their intentions. They can create prayers. They can create self-serving prayers, which would actually be like black magic, right?
Right.
We want this to happen. But they don't get the highest sources. That's why it's so important that we have group energies that create group intentions that can hook in. And here's an interesting thing. Where is the location of the... does the flow... I asked them about the flow of energy that we talk about that comes from the Hunab Ku, the center of our galaxy.
And folks, just to those who are listening to tune into the Fred Bell Show, that'll be starting at about 10 minutes after, a little bit late. Sorry, when?
Okay. Does the flow start from the central universe and then flow through the Hunab Ku? Yes, the flow from the center of this galaxy is related to the flow from the center of the universe. Where is the location of the central universe if it's mapped in a location that would be familiar? And then girlfriend Y says, I'm getting a headache. It's too expansive. And the Elohim says, it is an expanse, housing other universes, much as the analogy is a glove fits over a hand, only that it is a poor analogy. It works only in the sense that the central universe contains the other universes. When? How many other universes are there expanding out from the central universe? Elohim, five with the sixth being formed. When? Is the Elohim involved in all five universes? Elohim, the other parts are created by other creator gods who are working in those sectors and have other names. When? It seems to me that all the creator gods might have a common core which they radiate out from. Elohim, that's true. We make a joke. with our brothers in crime, some view creation as a crime. They wish the pure purity of the latest realms of creation to maintain without the confusion that one can get into in the lower realms. When do the different creator gods corroborate with each other, saying, here's what we did in our universe, you can try it in yours? Elohim, they do have meetings and councils, but it is a very high level. When do all the universes have similar problems as this one? Is it common? Yes, there are similar problems. So, I mean, am I talking to the Elohim? God knows where I'm getting these
answers. Yeah, but the weird part is, hey, the only thing that's perfect is the Creator. The rest are all on a quest to experience and really are playing it by ear.
Yeah.
With a sophisticated knowledge of mathematics. That's what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to wrap this show up, folks. I love you, Wynn. I love hearing... folks, can you imagine having not only a great co-host like this, but a great friend? So it's always a delight when you're on the radio with me, Wynn, because it's enlightening.
It is?
But here's what upsets me. Always got to come back to that.
What upsets you?
That you never post these channelings to the TNT board so people can read them.
Well, I sent you one. I don't know.
Well, you send them, but, you know, going to the TNT board is a click, the trusted news trader, and then posting it in.
By the way, did you get my...
Hold on. Folks, email Wynn at wynn@bloginservice.com. If you want him to start posting all these wonderful channelings he keeps going on about, but nobody can ever read.
Oh, if people request it, I'll post it.
Well,
I think people.
Oh, so now you put in a condition.
Well, that's my choice. Whatever I want. If it's not interesting to people, I think it's interesting.
Well, I think it's interesting. So, folks, email Wynn@bloginservice.com if you want him to post. But I want him to post his stuff.
Yeah.
This is stuff people should be reading, but Wynn, he's a little.
I figure that
he wants you to give him some accolades before he presents the material to the open public. So give him the accolades he requires.
I wanted you to hear it yourself.
I love it. I love it. But I've told you for months, start posting this stuff to the TNT board. Let other people get a chance to read it.
Well, you didn't hear this new series of channeling.
Of course. Who has? Just you.
Well, I sent you one. You said, I don't have time
to read
it.
Well, I've read some of it. I told you that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Right. I figure, you see, you know, if I'm going to put it up there, it's you and I holding the energy. Otherwise, it's just words.
Well, words are great. People come to read words. It's stuff that gets into the search engines. People hop on it. They read it.
Yeah.
But it really put it out there.
So are we supposed to close off now?
Yeah,
then?
Let's close out with prayer.
So now, you know, now we know how prayer works. When we do this, what's happening is...
A spin is being created.
Each of us is creating an intention. And I'm just kind of like mouthing the words, but you guys that are all listening are all participating in a group intention of your own free will if you choose to. Because, you know, you can just sit there and be neutral. But we're like connecting with those group energies that are like able to come into this realm and change things in a much higher way than we are able to, you and I are able to do it individually. So by creating that group intention and by creating the openness to allow ourselves to be used, they use us as a vehicle to connect into this realm. They need us. They need us, and it then allows us to fulfill a higher purpose. So that's what happens when we do this prayer. We're invoking that energy into your space, and many of you that have, especially that have come into my conference calls, and anyone listening, I tell you, email me and tell me you're interested in the conference call, because we read these channelings twice a week, and people are having phenomenal results who are checking in regularly. Feel like you're not connecting. It's a way to connect. And just be neutral and see what happens. You don't have to believe anything or not. Just be neutral and check in a few weeks and see if it shifts you. And that's on Monday and Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And no charge for it, by the way. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of this light to surround and protect Don and myself and each person that's listening. And we have this light radiating from the center of our galaxy called the Hunabku, coming through each one of us and grounding into the center of the Earth. And each of us who feels comfortable doing so right in this moment allows themselves to be an anchor for this light, that this energy can move through you and ground wherever you are on the planet, because we have listeners all over the world, and that we can at this moment, while this light is happening, put our prayers, just say, you know, think them silently, send the light to people that need healing. These forces are available to help us if our intentions are pure and for the highest good of all concerned. And so we see that Login Service, can I put this out of the prayer, can be a force of good and upliftment for the entire planet, for as many people that can tune into it. We see that each of you can be an upliftment of energy in your own community, and your own family, and in your own city, and that you can have the experience of being connected interdimensionally, holographically, all the way from the original source, all through all these different holograms and different connections, into your own realm. And it is possible, and by your intention, you can make that happen for yourself. And on that note, we thank you for listening.
Wynn, thank you.
I thank my co-host, Don, for having me as his co-host. And please check in next week and for who knows what we'll do. But it'll be interesting.
It always is.
Another day of the Don and Wynn show.
Okay. And folks, stay tuned to Fred Bell. Fred Bell's coming right up here on BBS Radio. He has a beautiful show for you today, folks. Don't miss it. We'll have it on in the next 2 minutes. Thank you for listening. And Wynn, good night to you. Have a wonderful weekend. And thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to share it.
Good night. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.